Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, should Muslims outside Palestine visit Al-Quds while it is under occupation?
Egypt's Grand Mufti, Sheikh Ali Jama'a, visited Jerusalem Al-Quds in April. The visit was criticized by several Muslim and Arab figures, as they believe it gives a legitimacy to the Israeli occupation. The Mufti, along with Ghazi bin Mohammed, a Jordanian royal family member, visited Al-Aqsa Mosque, which has been under Israeli military occupation since 1967. Jordanian officials say the visit was in accordance with the Prophet Muhammad's command to visit only three mosques on pilgrimage: Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Haram Mosque in Mecca, and the Prophet's Mosque in Medina. Mahmoud Abbas, president of the Palestinian Authority, has also called on Muslims everywhere to visit Al-Aqsa Mosque and revitalize it by filling it with worshippers and pilgrims. On the other hand, the Qatar-based Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qaradawi, an Egyptian scholar, said in a fatwa recently that Muslims should not visit Jerusalem Al-Quds while it is still under Israeli occupation. He emphasized that visiting the holy place requires dealing with Zionist embassies to obtain visas. He warns that such visits may give legitimacy to the occupation and could be seen as normalization. In this episode of Islam and Life, we ask, should Muslims outside Palestine visit Al-Quds while it is under occupation?
This has been an important question among scholars and among ordinary Muslims and even activists that are supporting the Palestinian cause. And especially for Muslims, when it comes to visit, you know, holy places and mosques and to go there, what we had is different views. Religious views where people and scholars were saying you can't go because this is under occupation and you cannot by your presence normalize or support in fact a situation where the Palestinians are oppressed and the religious rights are not respected. On the other side you have religious scholar, and that this is what we saw with the Mufti of Egypt, Sheikh Ali Jama, going there and saying this was Islamically right, and even more importantly, the president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, was saying, "Come and just make it a place where you can be Muslims, and that you are showing that the mosque it's important." So we have religious views that are contradictory, political views that are contradictory. And the Muslim scholars, as well as the ordinary Muslims, are caught between this and that. So should we go for it? And if yes, why? If no, why? These are important questions, because this is where the religious stance is also questioned by the political understanding of what is going on in the region. And to answer all these questions, I am joined by Bashar Zidane, a Palestinian activist, journalist, and political analyst. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let me start with this big question, because it's a religious question. We had, for example, two important and great scholars. On the one side, we had Sheikh Ali Jama say, going there and praying there and visiting Masjid al-Aqsa. On the other side, we have Sheikh from the Sunni tradition, Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi, saying that's wrong, we shouldn't go there because it's Islamically wrong and politically not wise to go. So we have a religious concern, and at the same time, of course, we'll have a political concern. Let us start with the religious one. How do you take this discussion, and what is your stand on it?
I think the visit, in essence itself, is something that we all long for. The problem here that in this situation, we cannot really separate the political side from the religious side, because a lot of the religious scholars are influenced politically by these decisions, with or against. But the real question is, should we be visiting Al-Quds under occupation as tourists? This is the question. We have a problem with the priorities here by our sheikhs. Our priority is to liberate Jerusalem. So if we're visiting Jerusalem, we should visit it as liberators, not as tourists. Because the people of Jerusalem, the people of Palestine, are under occupation for 64 years. Solving the problem is not by visiting them and staying for a few days there and buying some souvenirs and then leaving. You have to understand that these people need liberation. These people need the freedom to move within their country and their...
So you are clearly speaking as an activist, and this is clear, the objective is liberating Palestine. What is your take on a scholar saying it's Islamically right to go, or another scholar saying it's Islamically wrong to go? Would you think that the religious voices should say and tell us here what is Islamically right and what is Islamically wrong? Or is it only a political decision?
I believe even the majority of Muslim scholars and are against the visit.
Yeah.
And if you look at the figures and the names that are against the visit, you can clearly say that they are basing this on several reasons. While the reasons that are being used by the people who are with the visit are using what happened during the Islamic history in a manipulated way. Like a lot of them argue Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. And they say that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, went to visit Mecca, and then he had a treaty or an agreement with Quraysh to go back and visit the next year. But they...
It was only a step towards liberation.
They ignore the fact that Prophet Muhammad, when he visited Mecca, he visited Mecca after winning several battles. And he said to his to the people of Islam, they shall invade us no more. We will invade them. So it was actually a visit to Mecca as
a bigger objective.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
And another point in the same agreement, when Prophet Muhammad the next year visited Mecca and did the Tawaf, the Quraysh people, who are the natives in that place, left Mecca to the mountains. And the Muslims did the Tawaf with their swords on their So that was a different situation where the Muslims had the upper hand and they forced their conditions. While in our situation, you have to go by the Israeli rules and regulations and security checks to get permission to go to Jerusalem.
But there is a point that is made by the scholars who went there, that you have to try to get, and at least also to respond to it. When they are saying, look, first the president of the Palestinian Authority is telling us come. He, as a political representative in charge, he's saying come. Second, what he's saying is that by going there in Masjid al-Aqsa, you are making it clear that this is a holy place for the Muslims. So you are making it a vivid and a place where it's the people are still there. And it's not only the Palestinians, it's an international concern that we have to show that all the Muslims around the world care for this place. This is the second. Third, what the scholars were saying, Sheikh Ali Jomara and others who went there say, we go there just to show that we are Muslims and this place, it's important for us. So it's even the opposite. It's not to normalize. It's to say we go there just to show you that we don't give up on the whole thing. So you have three arguments. What would be your answer to this if you are against the visit?
Well, to start with the Mahmoud Abbas argument, Mahmoud Abbas represents Oslo government. He, by anyhow, does not represent all Palestinians, not even included in Palestine, because in Palestine you have two governments currently. And with the track record of the Palestinian Authority, it actually lost its credibility with Palestinians. We can no longer see the Palestinian Authority seeking the interest of the Palestinian cause. And by calling for people to visit Jerusalem, what is more important, to stop settlements in Jerusalem or to...
But he's saying it's not mutually exclusive. It's not because you are against the settlements that you should not visit at the same time.
But I am against the fact that all Muslims and Arabs will have to go to Israeli embassies and legitimize the Israel, the Zionist entity by taking permission from them and a stamp on their passport to visit Palestine. And if they did not abide by the Israeli rules, then they shall be expelled. And the idea in the whole Jerusalem visit is that you cannot pick and choose who visits Jerusalem. So if on the same day Grand Mufti Ali Jum'a visited Jerusalem, Sheikh Raed Salah and Sheikh Ikrima Sabri, who is the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem and the leader of the Islamist movement in Palestine, were denied entry to Jerusalem. I was denied entry to Jerusalem while I'm Palestinian. I went to visit Jerusalem and I was denied to Jerusalem because I'm considered as a threat to Israel. So they are not allowing all Muslims or all even Palestinians to visit the city.
So you are saying, in fact, it's the Israeli government administration, they are quite smart because they use the symbol of Muslim scholars going there just to say, look, we are and letting
can,
them
you
in.
You can clearly read this in their newspapers. Yedioth Ahronot and Haaretz were praising this visit, and they were saying that this visit is a white scarf on the mountain. So they know that this is a big part of the normalization of them being accepted by a lot of the Arabic public and the Islamist public. A lot of people will be motivated more to visit, saying that Mufti Ali Jum'a did visit, so he can't be wrong. We should go. But the good thing about Islam is it's a religion of logic and common sense, and it speaks to the mind as well as the heart. So when you know that this is not right, you do not have to go by what sheikhs say, because we can clearly see that there's a difference between even sheikhs themselves in this. So you can always...
That's true, but still what you have among some of the scholars, you have some who are supporting it by saying we need to show how much we are caring for peace. So it's a visit of peace.
What did Ali Jum'a do to Jerusalem in this visit? Did he hold a Palestine flag? Did he have a scarf on his neck? Did he show any... Why did he go under the radar without any announcements, without telling anyone that he's visiting an official visit, without announcing this in Al-Azhar? Al-Azhar themselves denied any knowledge about the visit. And they said it's done on a personal level, not official level. So we know clearly, we can read that this is not a visit that he's proud of. At least when back in the days in 1979 when Anwar al-Sadat visited Israel, he wasn't ashamed of publicly going and saying, I'm going to visit this shameful visit to Israel. But at least he said it publicly. People accepted that and people rejected. And they were expelled from the Arab League for that reason.
But why do you think he did it if he's not so proud of it? Why did he go there?
Because he thought that it serves his purpose. Anwar Sadat had a different ideology.
I mean the Sheikh Ali Jum'a.
So Sheikh Ali Jum'a...
And other scholars.
Of course, but Sheikh Ali Jum'a himself had a fatwa that a prohibition of demonstrations and protests in Egypt during the revolution. And now he's praising the revolutionists. So it is politically influenced. When Mubarak was in power, he was against demonstrations, and now he's praising the revolutionists. So it's an issue of credibility. For me, as a normal, ordinary Muslim, I can see how this sheikh is his record and how is he basing his fatwas, and judge for myself.
You judge for yourself. So that's good about, you know, religious scholars and people who are having a symbolic position. Now, let us talk about the ordinary Muslims, because I have lots of people, you know, I'm traveling a lot and meeting people, and some are saying, still we go to Gaza, we go to the West Bank, we go to visit the Palestinians, and some are going for, you know, solidarity work, for justice, and say this is our way to show solidarity towards the Palestinians, and we come back and we witness and we talk about it. And they go to the Masjid al-Aqsa, they pray there. Is this right? Do you think that this is something that should be done? Is it right for... Because at the end of the day, what you were saying at the beginning is that they will get a stamp, that there is a visa coming from the Zionist, you know, state. This is there. Should they go? Or do you think that politically speaking, it's better to criticize what is happening from outside, from abroad, or just to go and to be a witness by seeing what is happening?
I think we need to change the rules of the game. The way we present our solidarity, show our support to the whole Palestinian cause, we are trying to find the solution in the possible circumstances and trying to fit and match what can be done in this situation. While we need to change the whole setting of the game, we don't have to go by what governments want us to do or what the situation currently is forcing us to do. Because even foreign solidarity groups are trying to, on the same month that Mufti Ali Jumaa went to Jerusalem, they were denied entry in Ben Gurion airport. Mm-hmm. Because just for the, on the simple fact that they want Palestine, they want to show so some were, solidarity.
They, but still they were trying to enter.
And they were trying to enter, but these are not Muslims, are not Arabs. They don't have an ethical burden as much as the Arabs do. They chose to be supporters of this cause, while the Arabs and the Muslims have the responsibility to solve this cause.
But okay, that's fine. But the point is they have the responsibility to solve the problem. But should they go? For example, I am going to give you an example. I myself was invited by a mission going there. These were people who were working to liberate Palestine. And they told me, please come. And be with us. It's a symbol of us going to the occupied territories and helping and being vocal and come back and to be the voice for the voiceless here. I thought about it first. I knew that the Israeli government was not going to let me in. This is one. But the second thing, I should not go there. And some Muslims and ordinary Muslims were saying, no, in fact, you should use the symbol in the opposite way of what we have been talking about with, you know, scholars going and not saying anything, but to use this by talking. So at the end of the day, should we go? Do you think that politically it's the right thing to do or not?
I can agree with this fact if you tell me that all Palestinians and Muslims can go. I can agree. But if you're telling me that based on your profile at the Israeli intelligence department, you are allowed to visit or not, then I'll refuse that. Because how do you explain to me that Palestinians are denied, anyone under 50 is denied to pray Friday prayer in Jerusalem? How can you explain to me that any ordinary Palestinian cannot access, go to Jerusalem and visit Jerusalem,
so what you
while some others are allowed to?
What you are saying is that any visit, in fact, is normalizing or in fact implicitly means we agree with your policy.
Exactly.
So you should, we should not go.
We should so not go as tourists.
No, but as someone, no, but it's not only as tourists, it's you go there with the intent that you will come back and you be a witness and to bear witness to what is happening and to be an activist. As much as you are an activist and you are Palestinian, people are Muslims and they are not Palestinians, but they want to go and they want to show solidarity. Is it right, do you think?
We are living in a very open way. Anything you need to know about Jerusalem, you can know about Jerusalem. There are a lot of activists who are based in Jerusalem, and they are working hard on keeping everything, all the image clear for all the world to see. The problem is not going there and seeing or experiencing for yourself. If you're committed to this cause, there is ways to know what's going on there and to help them. But I think the argument should be about far more important and things in Jerusalem and priorities. For instance, a few days ago, the Israeli government approved building 2,610 units in settlements and 1,100
so
hotel
still,
rooms.
It's still going on.
What did the Arabs do? And these are in critical places in Jerusalem that if it went ahead, it'll technically kill any chance of having a Palestinian state because it's cutting cities from Jerusalem and making it isolated. The people there isolated.
Which seems to be an already killed solution, isn't it?
Exactly. Because we are trying to do anything in the possible circumstances. While Hassan Kanafani, a Palestinian writer, said once, if we are bad advocates of the cause, we should change the advocates, not the cause. Now we are trying to change the cause. We are trying to say that visiting Jerusalem under occupation is helping Jerusalem. While this is not really the case. Do you want to help Jerusalem? Give Jerusalem money. Give Jerusalem political power.
So
give Jerusalem some pressure.
If I listen to you, your position, which is quite clear cut, is for the Muslims and for the Arabs. Muslims and Arabs, don't go, do your job from abroad and never be involved in anything that could normalize or be an implicit acknowledgement of this oppression. But at the same time, let people, non-Muslims, people of other faith, who are activists and pro-Palestinians, let them come and do the job. This would be the right strategy?
Possibly, yes, because they are, at the end of the day, they chose to help this topic. It's not their responsibility. They can go there, they can do whatever they want to do. They won't be criticized because their countries have normal relations with Israel. They approve of Israel. But we can't say that a country...
But it's the same with Egyptians.
Yeah, but that's on official side.
It's
it is. Clearly, it's Egypt and Jordan are the only countries who have peace treaties, but that's on the official side. If you go to the street, you know that this doesn't exist, really. So it's rejected by the public and by the scholars and the figures there. It's just a political game that was played when we were not around to protect this cause. Because, back to my topic, the advocates are bad of the cause. When we agreed, when not we, of course, when the Palestinian Authority signed Oslo, they gave away most of Palestine. So we're trying to protect what's left of it, and that's the problem. Everyone, no one recently in official governments and televisions and speaks about Palestine from the river to the sea. No one speaks about Haifa and Yaffa and Akka, and we seem to forget that, and we're trying to build a state on 22% of what's left of Palestine that has no linkage whatsoever with between Gaza and the West Bank, that has no borders with any country other than Israel, that has no army, and we're trying to think that this is the Palestinian dream.
Thank you so much for that. I think that what we got out of this discussion first is really to think about our responsibility. So there is a religious responsibility, and we had different voices, and voices saying never go, and others saying yes, we can go, and your position is to say no. And I think that there is a religious concern here that implicitly we are acknowledging this colonization that could be a religious answer. But at the same time, at the end of the day, it's a political decision where anything that could be done or it's done to acknowledge the existence of a state that is oppressing, so we are in fact implicitly accepting the oppression or the occupation of the territory, should be avoided. And then we are not the only one in the world who are supporting Palestinians. So let the people coming from all the other countries, other faiths, other backgrounds coming and do the job, and they can be the witnesses for what is happening there. So it might be also something that the pro-Palestinians, the people who are supporting the right resistance and the just resistance of Palestinians, thinks about, you know, multiple strategies where people are coming with an ethical ground saying, in the name of my principles, I'm not going to accept your oppression, and let other people do what they can do and still work together. So sometimes we are not working like this, and as you were saying, it might be that the cause is right, but the advocates are wrong or at not as as accurate and as powerful as they should be. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
Islam in Life welcomes your opinion. So please send us your suggestions as well as criticisms on any of the shows you have seen or would like to see. You can do all this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also be part of our online platform by joining our Facebook page, Islam and Life, on Press TV, where you can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage with debates, and view past shows.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Bashar Zidane. Thank you so much for your presence, your insight, and your clear position. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah. We'll be right back.